Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I feel like in negotiations and talking, these guys, more than any other team, really felt like they really wanted me here, and it wasn't just throwing an offer just to, you know, throw something out there. It felt like they really made an effort to get me here, and I'm happy I'm here. You know, I was really nervous about making a decision. Had no idea what I wanted to do, probably until 20 minutes before. It was a lot of contemplating. Between a lot of different things, a lot of different paths.
It's Joey Bosa explaining his decision to sign with the Bills. Good morning, Jeremy and Joe. It's the very nice day pregame show. We're getting into the very nice day.
Yes, we are.
What do we have for temperature, Joe? We're going up to the 70s.
Yeah, but it's not there yet. I bet it's still in the 50s.
53.
Tom Pelissero just reported Vikings are rejecting trade calls and J.J. McCarthy. They also have no plans to pursue Aaron Rodgers. McCarthy's their QB1.
We'll get you Cam Hayward's thoughts on Aaron Rodgers. He had the quote of the day yesterday.
Oh, that was good.
Yeah. Joe Marino, Locked On Bills podcast, joining us on the Wester Hotline. Joe, we're getting 70s here today, I'm sure, where you are. You're getting that pretty routinely.
Yeah, we've been enjoying some nice weather here in Charlotte, and spent the weekend outside, picnic with my daughter. Then we went some cow adventure on Sunday. And I'll tell you what, The allergies are flaring up, so if the voice is a little goofy today, my apologies.
All right, we appreciate you battling through for us. Joe, let's start with, you know, the suspensions, the PED suspensions is what I should say. You know, the news we got on Friday about the Bills, it's, of course, disappointing. It looks a certain way. From a roster standpoint, how much would you anticipate this changes things for the Bills, knowing that Michael Hoyt and Larry Ogunjobi are going to miss the first six games of the season?
Yeah, it's definitely a strange dynamic that the Bills are going to have to deal with early in the season. You know, I think about getting ready for a season, and you know, you're trying to get these new players up to speed, and then in week one they disappear. And you have to go forward with a materially different group with your front seven for those first six games, and then ta-da, they're back, right? So it's a really strange dynamic for the team to have to navigate. But I will say, I don't think it impacts much of their draft plans. You know, I think the Bills were still going to make a couple of early investments on defensive linemen. You know, you think about the defensive tackle position, Ogunjobi and Daquan Jones are both expiring contracts for north of 30 players. Your only players under contract beyond this season are Ed Oliver and Dwayne Carter. On the edge, you've got expiring contracts in Bosa and A.J. Epenesa. And so I think the Bills, regardless of those suspensions, needed to make some early investments on defensive linemen. That way they can have some cost control players with some upside to kind of fill out that rotation, not just this year, but for years to come. So it's definitely a weird dynamic for the start of the season, but I do think the Bills will still make some investments in the draft for the reasons I just outlined.
Looking at both players, what they'll be missing, are you really worried about the skill set for either that they'll be without? Hoyt especially, because we would think early in the year would have been our first look at how the Bills are going to use him, and we'll have to wait till the middle of the season.
Well, yeah, and he's such a unique player that can offer so many different things. And I guess I was always pretty fascinated to see exactly how he would be incorporated into this defense, because the Bills are not a team that I think like really moves guys around and likes to tap into like versatility. And, you know, you see Michael Hoyt play, he's off the edge, sometimes on the interior defensive line, a good amount of like stack linebacker as well, in addition to being like a 3-4 outside linebacker for the Rams. And so you start to forecast that to Buffalo and you're like, I don't know what they're going to do, but I'm interested to find out. And that's certainly a really interesting wrinkle for the defense that you'd love to be able to hit the ground running with. And now it's more of, okay, what's the rhythm of the defense through six games? Is a rookie showing out? Is Javon Solomon really playing well? You know, things like that could really impact what you're going to do. Maybe the Bills have an injury and it's the best thing in the world that these guys are coming back, right? So there's so many variables in play. And I guess the boring answer is, I guess it's just going to play out and we'll find out. But it's certainly a unique player in Hoyt that was always interesting. And now I think it's even more complicated, interesting, exciting, weird, if you will, for his return eventually, whenever that happens after six games.
Yeah, I wonder, Joe, if this is kind of an opportunity early for draft picks from last year, Carter and Solomon getting more run. And again, like you said, it depends. They could add guys between now and then that make this a moot point. But Carter especially, because that's a third-round pick. And from what we've come to know about him, like, it wasn't a strong start to his career, and I don't know, if he gets some runway early in the season and it doesn't go well and then Ogunjobi comes back, like, he could find his way out of the picture, I feel like, pretty quickly.
Right. That's certainly possible, or the opposite's true, right, where he, you know, we've seen a lot of players that struggle in year one for the Bills, and year two they take a big step, and maybe that's the case with Dwayne Carter, and I'm sure he feels that, right? I mean, he knows that he's got probably a six-week window to really show himself, and you know, if he plays well, I mean, he was going to have an opportunity to command a, you know, a nice role for this defensive line rotation. I mean, at the end of the day, Ogunjobi is a one-year player. And, you know, Dwayne Carter is the second-year rookie that they've invested a top 100 pick in. That would be really helpful if he can materialize on, you know, the promise of what he showed at Duke as kind of a penetration-style player. And I think that's where the disappointment comes, is you're always a little concerned about the run defense, and that was an issue. But he thought he was going to be a redeeming player with his pass rush, his ability to kind of penetrate and get on the other side of the line of scrimmage. And you didn't see that with him as much frequency. And that was kind of the thing he can do. So big opportunity for him in those first 6 weeks to either claim a role or kind of be pushed to the side.
Joe Marino, the Locked On Bills podcast. Joe, we've talked a little this week about Christian Benford. You know, the extensions got done, the Bills knocked down three, and now the next two might be the tricky two. It's not probably no surprise to you. We take plenty of calls to say, don't worry about James Cook. But Benford, of course, is different. I mean, graded as a very good to great player at his position, do big money. That position's market is starting to catch up to receiver, which it probably should to some degree. We've seen $30 million for Derek Stingley. I wonder how you feel about Benford. Has he done enough to prove he's, what, top blank? Top five, top ten? Is there any reason the Bills might want to just see another year of it or put him in different positions to try and see just how good he is?
Well, I think it's a good call out on the direction of this corner market with the players you mentioned, and not, you know, Trent McDuffie's due for a deal, Sauce Gardner's due for a deal. So that top is just going to keep going up. And I think really highly of Christian Benford. I think he's been every bit of a top five corner over the last two seasons in the NFL. Right? I thought he really proved himself in his second season, and I think he validated that last year. I really don't have any questions about the player, the skill set, the impact, what he can do. I think he's an upper echelon NFL starting corner that's young, that, I mean, is so versatile with, you know, he can play off-man coverage, press, zone. He can do it all, and he tackles. I think he's missed like two tackles over the last three seasons. And, you know, he very much limits receivers. I mean, so many games of just like nothing allowed. So he's an upper echelon number one corner in the league, and I think he wants to get paid like that. And I wonder just if the holdup is probably just being far apart on what that contract looks like in terms of money, right? I mean, where the Bills, I think, with all the players they've been able to extend, you know, it feels like it comes in lower than where the projections go. And I think that's probably Brandon Bean's angle, is to kind of say, hey, we keep you here for a long time. This is what we can do. And if that number is not close, I think you see what, you know, what's happening with James Cook, where he came out and said, we're not on the same page. Tremaine Edmonds, they couldn't get on the same page. So we'll see where Benford settles. But I think a lot about Spencer Brown. You know, Spencer Brown last year signed that deal that pays him $18.5 million a season. And if the most important thing to Spencer Brown was money, he made a mistake. Because if he hit the open market after the season that he had, he's going to be a $25 million a year tackle without question. I mean, without question. And maybe Christian Benford sees the same thing. He's like, yeah, I could probably take this right now, and he'd be handsomely paid. But if the most important thing is for him is money, which every player has different priorities, you know, then he might not want to leave much on the table. So I'm guessing they're not close on money, and that's why it hasn't come to fruition yet. And obviously Christian Benford has to agree to it. He might want to bet on himself and go out there and have another big-time year. And if that happens, I mean, he's going to get all the money. And maybe the Bills are not necessarily ready to give him that.
Yeah, you might wonder for that, for Benford, how much fear or concern he'd have over injury. I mean, he's battled concussions, right? He's had some injuries over the years. So
two in the last two games.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, it's that's tough.
Yeah, he's had that. I mean, he had a hand fracture, if I'm not mistaken, an oblique injury. He's definitely had stuff to be mindful of. And I think the disappointing thing is, I think every one of his seasons, it's come late in the year, like season-ending injury as a rookie. Then, of course, he gets injured in the playoffs and he misses the Kansas City game in 23. Then last year, of course, the concussion that, you know, maybe that AFC Championship game is different if he's available. You know, Kyrie Elam's not out there getting twisted up in coverage. So, yeah, those injuries have happened and they've not been timely. And I'm sure that's a big leverage point for the Bills in these negotiations.
Joe, how would you compare him to Trey White? Because Bills fans, I feel like, not that anyone's doubting Benford, but, you know, we saw the Bills had an elite corner for a while, and that went great. Trey White was a fan favorite, of course. How does Benford stack up against Trey White?
Well, I think Christian Benford's got a lot more physicality to his game. The tackling piece is just astronomically better than Trey White. But I think with Trey White, you could not think about the clutch takeaways, right? Like fourth quarter, big moment, the dude took away the football. And I think Benford, you know, Benford's got good ball skills. He's really good at stripping the ball. But Trey White, those timely takeaways, you know, he definitely wasn't the tackler. He wasn't the physical player. I don't think he's nearly as athletically dynamic as Benford. But those clutch takeaways really, I thought, separated Trey White, not only from Benford, but like from the rest of the pack. That was one of my big talking points when they signed into that deal, right? And it was all those other players. Lattimore was up and Humphrey was up and all these players at the same time. And I was like, Trey White takes away the football in big moments. And I thought that's a big separating factor with Trey.
The whole picture right now at corner, Joe, they've added Dane Jackson back. We just talked about even Benford's injury risk that he carries, and the other spot seems pretty open right now. So what do you think their desperation level is right now at corner? And even maybe, you know, that could change. Would you think there's room for another veteran before we even get to the draft?
Yeah, I do. I think that the Bills, I mean, even Brandon Bean, after signing Dane Jackson, he came out and said, we're thin at the position. You know, I don't think anyone's acting like Dane Jackson is the savior to the position group. But I think one thing that's generally happened with the Bills over the last several years is their cornerback depth has absolutely been stressed. You know, Dane Jackson was never a preferred starter for the Bills. He started 28 games over four seasons, right? Like, they've had to use him a ton. Kyrie Elam's had to play a good amount. And so I think it's very important to have depth in place. Now, I think the Bills did a good job of finding a floor with bringing in Dane Jackson, but I think they need to find some ceiling, and that's why I'm expecting, you know, probably an early investment with a draft pick to get a player that not only gives them more ceiling and upside, but, you know, as you're about to potentially pay Christian Benford a big-time contract, you're going to want a cost-control player that's, you know, secure for multiple years. I think you accomplish that with a draft pick, so Dane Jackson gives them somewhat of a floor, but you know, they need more ceiling than Dane Jackson at that CB2 spot.
Is this like Brandon Bean's revenge? You know, as you say, it's all stress there. It's likely because of the miss on Elam, and they paid the price for that over years. And now corner is right again at the top of their list of needs. If we're looking at the draft, How many tiers are there, Joe? Are there four first-round guys? Is there? Would you say there are three or four, and then a next set of three or four? At the 30th pick, what can the Bills expect in the corner department, and might they have to move one way or another?
I think the Bills are going to be in good shape to get a corner late in the first round if that's what they want to do. I really like this corner class. I don't think, you know, Travis Hunter and Will Johnson, I think those guys are going top 12, top 15, but whether it's Jahdae Barron from Texas, Trey Amos from Ole Miss, Azaria Thomas, Florida State, Siobhan Revel from East Carolina, you know, I think the Bills are going to have options. Darian Porter from Iowa State. There's a lot of Billsy corners that make sense kind of in that exact range with where the Bills are picking. And so I think they're in a good position to, you know, nobody wants to go into a draft declaring to the world that you need a certain thing. But I think the Bills will probably be okay. And if they want to move up, they can. I think that's kind of the benefit of the 10 draft picks that they have and no chance to roster 10 rookies is, all right, go get your players. And maybe that's a trade up from 30. Maybe that's a trade up into the third round, right? You got a couple of fourth round picks, a bunch of fifth round picks, package some of that and get back into the top 100 or move up from 56 or 60. So I think they're going to have a lot of different options and with moving around the board, but I do think that there's plenty of corners that are, you know, that'll be available. They won't like them all, right? I know it's you could come up with a list of names, and there could be a number of reasons that any guy would be disqualified, but I think the Bills will be in good shape to find a corner they like early on.
And do you feel like if they do that, or even like second round corner, like I think we're all expecting there'll be some investment in it, that's a position for them where they're good with just a rookie coming right in and not being given the job, but having, you know, a lot of opportunity to start the year. We heard a lot about safety last year, how they like guys that have been in the system multiple years, know what they're doing. And if you look back, Joe, on McDermott's history, even Elam is like almost the anomaly. Every other corner, even guys that went in that they picked like Benford in the sixth round, the seventh round, oftentimes feel like they're pretty capable right away for this team at that position.
Yeah, I think they got a good eye for it. You know, I think you in that tweet that you put out, I thought it highlighted a lot of like just top to bottom, like no matter where they get these corners, they play and they stick around for a while in the league. So, you know, hopefully that's an advantage that the Bills can have in identifying the right corner to go after, because I think there's a good chance that they're going to want him to start. And, you know, it's going to come down to beating out Dane Jackson, and hopefully that can happen. And I think that player will be given every opportunity. I think safety is fundamentally different than corner. I mean, I think Bean came out and said, like, it would be hard for a safety to start for this team. But I think there's so much more on their plate. They're communicators. They play a whole lot more. Like, you know, these corners for the Bills, they just play aside. You know, these safeties are playing all over the place, in the box, in the slot, deep post. You know, they're spinning and disguising coverages. That's night and day from what a corner's asked to do. So I think it's a lot more palatable for a corner to come in and play right away than a safety for this defense.
Joe Marino, Locked On Bills podcast, Locked On NFL Scouting as well. Joe, we'll cut you loose early. You know, we know you're battling through the voice. You sound great, but, you know, want to give you a little bit of time to, you know, get rid of those allergies. So thanks again for joining us. We'll chat next week.
All right, guys. Appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Joe Marino. Be sure to subscribe to Locked On Bills podcast and Locked On NFL Scouting. We'll keep talking to Joe each week leading up to the draft and get closer and closer.
Are the Vikings dumb at all for just going with McCarthy?
No. I can't believe they won't shut down the Rodgers thing more.
Well, they finally did.
They finally did? Okay, good.
They just did. I think Pelissero now, Garofolo, they're all on, like, they are moving forward with McCarthy. Rodgers is not, like, on the table for them at all.
Okay, good. Cam Hayward. More people need the energy of Cam Hayward in the NFL. Steelers defensive lineman Cam Hayward said of the Rodgers stuff, I ain't doing that darkness retreat. I don't need any of that crap. Either you want to be a Pittsburgh Steeler or you don't. That's simple. That's the pitch. If you want me to recruit, that's the recruiting pitch. Pittsburgh Steelers, if you want to be part of it, so be it. If you don't, no skin off my back. Cam Hayward. Yeah, figure it out, dude.
Yeah. And I think figure it out is pick one, Pittsburgh or New York.
Sure.
Come on. Giants and Steelers. You've got two teams that seem to want you, and he's playing this game with, oh, I want to go to Minnesota. He wants to live the Favre life.
Both those teams might be Joe Milton candidates, too.
I do understand why he would want to go to Minnesota.
Because they're a ready-made team.
They are. If he, from his standpoint, I would think, I go to Minnesota. Look what Sam Darnold just did with that team. I'm in the Super Bowl. I'm a contender immediately if I go to Minnesota. I've got the best receiver in football. I've got an amazing coach. They just spent all this money on defense. So I get why he would want to go to Minnesota. But I think the Vikings are also smart for not choosing him. I just think they're taking on a huge risk with a guy that can't stay healthy, going back to college, and was a polarizing prospect in the first place, and that's it. Their whole plan is that guy. I think that's really risky for them when they have a roster that's ready to win the Super Bowl right now.
Well, Andrew Filippone just tweeted out a Photoshop picture of Aaron Rodgers in a Steelers jersey and said it's only a matter of time. Sometimes Andrew has his sources. Pelissero also tweeted about the Steelers. Pittsburgh, which continues to explore all options at the quarterback position, owns the number 21 pick in the draft and suggests that in a tweet about Jalen Milroe, who is not ever, I've seen, be considered a first-round pick.
Except for Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh and Tomlin loves him, and like that's been out there for a few weeks.
Okay.
Pelissero's also saying, talking about, I guess I'm reading quotes from him right now on NFL Network, that he's talking right now about if Rodgers goes elsewhere, like Mason Rudolph has a real chance to be the Steelers' opening day quarterback. Which, man, you're just... It'd be funny. Their inability to land a quarterback this summer, it would just go to show this is what you do when you win 9 games every year. You're going to have a hard time finding your way to a good quarterback.
But does landing Rodgers count as having a quarterback?
More so than Mason Rudolph, but even still, no. It should not fully. It shouldn't. But it would. They'd talk themselves into it, right? Pittsburgh would talk themselves into, he wasn't actually as bad with the Jets as it was made out to be, and we've got Metcalf, and Tomlin, will get him under control, even though that never happens with any player ever, and they'll sell themselves on Rodgers. If you're a Steelers fan and Mason Rudolph is your quarterback, there's no sales pitch.
No, that's right.
There's no convincing yourself of anything if he's your quarterback.
Looking at their opponents next year, how many if they get Rodgers... they're the favorites to get Rodgers now that the Vikings are out. How many games they win? They have their division, Cincinnati, Cleveland, and Baltimore. They win 3 maybe?
Of those?
Yeah. 4 optimistically, but 3 maybe?
Yeah, 3. They always seem to win more than they should. But sure, 3.
They're out of division is Detroit, the Chargers, the AFC East, so that's the Bills, the Patriots, Jets, and Dolphins.
Okay.
The Packers, the Vikings, the Colts, and the Seahawks.
That's pretty tough. Other than
9-8,
the easiest part of that might be the AFC East part.
Right? Why even look? It's 9-8.
9-8.
Pencil them in.
8-9 wins. Well, I'm waiting. It's gonna happen. And man, if Rudolph is their quarterback, or even I don't know about Milroe. I haven't formed an opinion on him yet. But especially like Rudolph is their quarterback, they just find themselves to nobody. There's a New England season coming. New England under Belichick, year after year was. Oh, well, they'll get to 9-10 wins because they have Belichick. Like, automatic. They're not going to implode. And then what happened? They imploded and they went to the bottom. That's going to happen to Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Like, there is a year where, no, they're not going to win 8-9 games automatic because logic is going to dictate that the team's actually not that good. And they aren't going to get breaks like they do sometimes and blocked field goals for touchdowns like they did against the Bills multiple times. No, like, they're going to have a year where they get all the breaks against them and they win 4 games. And especially if Mason Rudolph's their quarterback, I'm going to want that. I'm going to think that's coming this year.
Well, if Rudolph's their quarterback, they're going to be desperate in draft one for sure. Rodgers to Pittsburgh, maybe. Ongoing dialogue, according to Pelissero. 803-0550, have a stat of the day when we get back. Also, we have to tell you, we had the Ovechkin goal chase, and what the NHL has proudly announced, this league is unintentionally hilarious. You kind of can't even believe the things that this league does and acts like they're doing a good thing. So we'll get you the story on that. Chris Johnston of The Athletic has how the league will plan to operate on Ovechkin's his history-making, record-breaking goal. What happens when it gets scored? Get ready.
Ovechkin on the intercept with Dubois. Back to the point. Perivari, deflection shot. It's a tip-in for the Great Eights. The chase continues.
Ovechkin did not score last night, but we're going to talk about the chase to catch Wayne Gretzky because there's a story about what the NHL is going to do when he is one goal away.
Mm-hmm.
And it is unintentionally hilarious. You know, maybe you have a friend that is so close to figuring something out. You're having an argument with somebody, and they're arguing with you still. But they have all the right points, and they just can't quite get to the destination they got to get to. And that is the NHL and this story. So Chris Johnson of The Athletic has a piece up about what the NHL is going to do with this Ovechkin chase. And, of course, needless to say, it's a big moment, right? We have kind of joked about the idea. What happens if it's offside? What if they challenge for offside? We saw a couple weeks ago, last week, Nathan McKinnon's 1,000th point. Everybody comes off the bench and celebrates. It's called back on offside.
Yep.
It was challenged and called back, hilariously. So this is a bigger moment. It's not just 1,000 points. The all-time leader in goals. And Colin Campbell is who is quoted a lot in this article with Chris Johnston.
Which I forgot he's still like in a position of power in the NHL.
Yeah.
How old is Colin Campbell at this point? He's got to be in his 80s, right?
Ooh, good question.
Still running things?
Yeah. Pretty old.
I mean, it's wild.
So the headline is, what if Ovechkin's record setter gets challenged? The NHL Situation Room is ready with fingers crossed. And there's a number of things in here that are just incredible. Now, full disclosure, I come to you humbly as a person that thinks the NHL offside challenge is the single worst thing that's ever happened to all of sports. I think it is the worst thing of all time. It has ruined a sport. I do go that far. I think it is that terrible. So, a couple notes. Goals are being challenged for review at a higher rate than ever this season. Great. Great, everybody. We're doing great. That's a great starter. Thanks to that. Colin Campbell, we're going to treat it like any other goal. Nothing special. It's hard to protect yourself against passion, though. There'll be a lot of noise. So,
yep.
They go on to say, there was a scene last year in the PWHL Championship, which is the Professional Women's League. Minnesota had the cup-clinching goal in double overtime. Turned over on goaltender interference.
Yep.
And they lost, and then they wound up losing and won the next day. But that's like a cup-winning goal reviewed. Great. But here's the part for me, Joe, that drives me nuts. Colin Campbell, I've said to Gary Bettman, I worried more than anything all day long about the final game of the Four Nations. That event had created so much passion and attention. People weren't going to look at the result and say, it's right or wrong. They're just going to say, the NHL screwed up on that because of the passion that's involved. He goes on to say, I feel the same pressure in the playoffs. Game 7 last year with Florida and Edmonton, you just say, just please, please, no reviews.
Mm-hmm.
We have the two most important people in running the sport discussing how the worst thing that could happen is review.
Mm-hmm.
They know it, and we're still here.
Yeah.
We're ready for the review.
Where you could just, if you're begging, please, no reviews, you could just decide to not
stop reviewing. Just stop reviewing offside. Furthermore, in this article, further on, the NHL's made the determination, and this is the part that is, I dare you, find a dumber sports league. The NHL's made the determination its hockey operations department will take the lead whenever Ovechkin finds himself one goal away. That means none of the production elements or special plans will be unfurled until the window passes where an opponent can challenge his potential record breaker and Campbell's team has...
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Want to grow your business fast? With TikTok ads, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals, but you're scrolling your phone and maybe you're in bed because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you get at the store, like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
Indicated it's a good goal. The man is going to break the all-time record for goals scored.
Right.
And the NHL's solution for this is to not do anything until Toronto confirms it's a good goal. It's not even being challenged yet. They're challenging it themselves. They're going to preemptively challenge this goal.
Right.
What?
Well, doesn't he also kind of make it sound like they're like the... they're going to allow enough time to the opponent challenge window passes. So what's going to happen? He's going
to
score.
Well, we'll have to wait.
And then everyone's, let's say it's not going to happen against the Sabres because he doesn't have enough time now, but let's say it happens against the Sabres. He scores. Now, does everyone look at Lindy Ruff? Like, what do you, because he's got the monitor at his feet. Is everyone staring at the, and then they'll celebrate once Lindy gives the thumbs up?
I don't even know if it's that. I guess it must be. Because a coach challenges, and then they do the review in the building. This
says they go over to the monitor.
This says Colin Campbell's team is the one that will indicate that it's a good goal.
Okay, so maybe they're taking it away from the coaches.
And they're going to Toronto for
that,
this.
That, though, is doing it differently. And he said that we're treating it like any other goal.
That is doing it differently. And, again, I guess the hockey, the production elements, no dropping of banners or confetti.
I think you're probably going to see Gretzky come out on the ice at some
point. He will score this goal, and we will wait 30 seconds, and then, okay, hit the confetti.
Mm-hmm.
They are so close to realizing the damage that they've done to this sport with this stupid challenge that nobody ever wanted.
Did you already have this as a let's get stupid to sacrifice the Ovechkin goal moment in order to get the challenge eliminated?
I would sacrifice a Sabres season to get rid of it. I got a million of those on the pile.
But like,
I can't tell you what I wouldn't give up.
Have the moment ruined enough that everyone, every owner, every GM, the second it happens, go, oh, we got to get rid of
this. I hope he scores six in a row that get called back on offside on reviews by millimeters. Six. How many you want? 60. I hope he scores 60 in a row.
If it means
it would go away.
Yep.
It's unbelievable.
So now, really, I'm kind of hoping that he does score like an empty net goal from his own end, because then you eliminate all chance of a challenge. I think you can't challenge offside if he hasn't entered the zone.
True,
and you can't challenge goaltender interference if there's no goalie. So maybe the best thing to happen will actually be like he scores an empty net goal from his own zone or the neutral zone. Although then, are we going to get review for like, oh, the puck touched the netting 30 seconds before?
Right.
Or
was it played with a high stick in the corner?
With a high stick. Can we review glove passes? I think it nicked off of Tom Wilson's glove before it got to Ovechkin.
Can you even believe it?
Oh, of course.
He's going to break the all-time record of scoring goals, and we're going to wait for the period of time where a challenge could be made to pass, and then we will indicate it is a good goal, and at that point, the passion will be allowed to flow, and the moment will be celebrated.
What probably will end up happening, I bet, is you're going to have what happened with McKinnon before
any of the
NHL production stuff. You're going to have – he's going to score, and all the Capitals are going to rush out on the ice. And while they're doing that, that's when they're going to be checking the goal. So on like the broadcast, I bet there'll be no attention paid to it. And in the 30 seconds that they're celebrating with teammates, that's when they're gonna be reviewing it. And then once they've kind of unsettled, then okay, here comes Gretzky and here comes Bettman and here comes the confetti. Or here comes a review.
A challenge.
Because it could be a review.
I guess the best thing that could happen is Ovechkin does not get it this year, and in the offseason they talk about it and say, let's get rid of it.
But they're not going to.
Oh, I know. They're not going to get rid of it.
That's not going to happen.
I know. How about the fact that there are more challenges than ever? Do they see that as a problem?
Well, Colin Campbell kind of talks like he might, but he doesn't care.
They put a
penalty. They think they need it?
You now get a penalty for challenging wrong, and there are still more challenges than ever.
Right.
Which means, among other things.
Right. Lindy challenged something last week that had no shot of winning, and that was one of those where he got a penalty,
right.
Which I don't even know. What is it? Is it goaltender interference is a penalty and offside isn't?
I think
that's true.
Offside's definitely a penalty if it's wrong, offside.
I thought that was just goalie interference is the penalty if you're wrong.
Well, the point is.
Whatever. Why was it different in the first place?
Right. It's incredible. Yeah. The NHL, folks. All right, when we get back, it's Worst Call Wednesday. How about that? I could have used that for Worst Call Wednesday, but it is not. It's something else saved for Worst Call Wednesday.
Clarity on that. When they first introduced it, goalie interference was a penalty if you got it wrong. Offside wasn't. Last year they changed that, so now it's the same.
Okay.
But there was a time where one of the challenges was a penalty and the other wasn't.
Well, again,
and how do we come to that conclusion?
The fact that there are more challenges than ever. Okay, now it's because there's no challenge for goaltender. That's why there's no penalty for goaltender interference, and I just challenge all the time on that.
No, there is on that too.
There is on both.
Yeah, okay, so they're just doing it.
They're doing it anyway. Okay, you got to up the penalty. The penalty is you're fired. That's it. If you get it wrong, you're fired. I'll accept that. A coach will be fired if you challenge. That's it.
You're at least ejected from the game.
Yes.
You got to go.
You're suspended for a month. I'll accept the offside challenge under that circumstance. You better be right. You better be really. It better be so bad that you're willing to lose your job. All right, Worst Call Wednesday coming up.
Time now for Worst Call Wednesday, brought to you by Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center.
I'm 75-ish today. I'm playing some summertime music because it's going to be nice out. It is nice out. What are we looking at right now? 56, Joe. See, you wish you wore shorts
right
now.
Climbing.
All right, Worst Call Wednesday from the world of golf.
Okay.
Phil Mickelson made one of the worst calls here.
Mm-hmm.
He claimed that Joaquin Neiman is the world's best player. He won a LIV event. And I don't know, like the LIV team's like, wow, is Joaquin Neiman a top five player? And Mickelson said, top five, try number one. No, he's not the best player in the world. He has played in 16 major championships. Scottie Scheffler has played in 16 major championships. Someone else put all this together. Scheffler's 15-1 in finishing position and 130 strokes better in those tournaments. So, no, Joaquin Neiman's not the best player in the world. He is very good. I also had this.
Yeah, I was reading a Golf Digest article during the break. Like, where should he be ranked?
Right.
Like, where would he likely be ranked? Because
eighth?
The last time he was on the PGA Tour, he was 24 years old. So that's pretty young for the tour. He's 26 now. And they're like, most optimistically, even if he progresses into his mid-20s the way other guys do, you're talking about like a top 20 player.
Okay.
But not top 10 or top 5 or certainly not number 1. Like, not even close to number 1.
Worst Call Wednesday brought to you by Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center. That's the Worst Call on the course there, Phil saying that Niemann was the number one player. Yeah, one of the worst calls you can make is to skip your recommended cancer screenings. To learn more about potentially life-saving screening recommendations and guidelines, visit roswellpark.org/screening. I'm going to roll that right into the stat of the day and a quick little golf take before we get to Sam Monson on NFL stuff and the Bengals and their big decision to pay both Chase and Higgins. Mm-hmm. So stat of the day is that on the ratings, this last weekend, the PGA Tour outdrew LIV in the ratings, at a ratio of 100 to 1. I mean, it's Sawgrass. It's 100 to 1. For every one LIV viewer, there were 100 PGA Tour viewers. And this is a great example or a great week to point out one thing that LIV did not get. They got a bunch of great players, right? Mm-hmm. They have a format. I mean, without even making it about morality or politics, you know the thing that LIV never got? A single course I care about.
Yeah. I'll say they even got the TV deal finally, right? Like sure. They're on Fox Sports 1 or whatever.
They never, yeah. I couldn't tell you a single course that they play that I care about.
Right.
Ask me to name the 10 best courses that I'd like to watch be played. Sawgrass on the list. Sawgrass is a star. LIV can't sign Sawgrass.
Nope.
LIV can't sign Pebble. I mean, maybe they go to Pebble. I don't even know.
Harbortown and, you know,
Augusta.
Obviously Augusta.
Torrey Pines.
Oakmont.
It doesn't even cross my mind to ever look what's happening over there. So, you know, when the unification happens, if it ever does, the Stars come back. Like,
yeah.
You never signed.
Yeah, like.
You didn't get a course that matters. I never know where you're playing. I never care. And why is the players such a big draw? It's because of the tour. But the course is the biggest star. And it was again this week. I mean, Rory's playing it against J.J. Spahn. The playoff, those final three holes. Like, it's one thing LIV couldn't get is a course that I care about.
Yeah, right. Like, the Grange Golf Club in Australia.
I'm sure these are nice places, but...
Sentosa Golf Club in Singapore is where they played this past weekend. That versus Sawgrass?
Yeah,
right, like, I'm sure it's a nice course, but...
Sure, it's beautiful.
But it's not, like, an iconic course.
No. So, anyway... There you go. There's your stat of the day. Brought to you by Empire Electric, your residential electricians, your residential neighborhood electrician. Visit empireelectricians.com. Sam Monson on the other side. Talk to us about NFL free agency, maybe the Rodgers to the Steelers, or what happens with the fallout there. He's got some stuff on the quarterbacks. Cam Wharton, Shedeur Sanders posted a little bit ago. He does the Check the Mic podcast with Steve Palazzolo. We're also going to talk. I want to get into about the Bengals because I know Sam's big on the Bengals and what the future looks like paying those big three. So we'll chat about it with Sam Monson coming up here on WGR.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro. What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.